This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Sometimes it can. This is Sports Saturday here on WSMI Radio, and it's time for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm insurance agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville and Hillsboro. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville and Raymond. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And now for everybody's favorite Facebook celebrity, it's WSMI's Tim Myers.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me. I have no Facebook, for the record.
You're there.
No, I'm not.
You're not hiding in the weeds?
I am not. I am not under some sort of fake name on the Facebook. I am just simply not on.
Nobody's created a Tim Myers celebrity Facebook page or anything like that?
No. I certainly hope not.
Well, maybe we should get that started.
Maybe we shouldn't. Let's not say we did. How about that?
Okay. Whatever you say.
Welcome to Sports Saturday. Thank
Heck
you very
of a
much.
Start this morning.
It is a good start, David Jenkins. Thank you very much. We got a good show for you lined up. We're going to catch up with Southwestern head basketball coach Jason Darr coming up probably in about 15 minutes time as the Piassaw Birds off to a very nice start this year. Quality win last night over Breeze Mater Dei. So we'll catch up with Coach Darr a little bit later in the hour here on Sports Saturday. Of course, we've got girls high school basketball tonight. The Route 16 rivalry is renewed as Hillsboro will travel to Litchfield. We'll have live coverage tonight, 7:30 here on WSMI FM 106. We'll be streaming online as well at WSMIRadio.com. Also tonight, Fighting Illini basketball for you. They are in Chicago at the United Center to face New Mexico State. Live tonight, 6 o'clock on 105.3, The Ox. 9 days away from Christmas. That is really quite hard to believe. Hope everyone's holiday season is as peaceful as it can be in the pre-holiday rush to get all that shopping done. And, of course, the day after Christmas, we will have the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament on WSMI FM 106. And we're happy to be joined now by the Athletic Director of Carlinville High School, Darren Deneve. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Mize. How are you?
Hey, doing very, very good. You got all your shopping done?
No. No, I do not.
Have you started your shopping?
Not exactly.
No. Well, I know one thing you have done is you've gotten the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament set up and ready to roll. It'll start, of course, on December the 26th, the day after Christmas, with a 12:30 start for the first game. And if you could, Darren, run down how the seedings broke out. Start with the girls.
Sure. The girls' seeding, I got to do this from memory a little bit, but the Greenfield Northwestern girls were the one seed. And then Lesby girls were the two seed. The third seed is Nokomis. 4 and 5 was Staunton and Carlinville. 6 and 7 were Bunker Hill and Litchfield. And 8 is East Alton Wood River. And we have a pool of Carlinville, Staunton, and Wood River. And then a pool with Lesby, Litchfield, Bunker Hill, and Nokomis. On the boys' side, let me think here. The one seed is Staunton. The two seed is Litchfield. 3 and 4 were very close. As Carlinville and Litchfield. 5 was Mount Olive, I think.
What about Hillsboro, Darren?
Oh, my gosh, did I say Hillsboro? I think I had it wrong. Hillsboro is 2.
There we go.
You
said Litchfield. I was a little confused.
No, okay. Hillsboro is 2. I'm sorry, I'm doing it from memory. We're on the road here. We've got Bunker Hill in there. Wood River is the 8th seed. So, who have I missed?
That's a good question, Darren. You got Mount Olive. You got Litchfield. You got Hillsboro.
Let's go with the pools.
Okay.
The pools were Staunton and Carlinville. And let me think, Olive and East Allwood River are in the same pool. And then we've got Hillsboro, Litchfield,
Bunker Hill,
Gillespie and Bunker Hill in the same pool. And so Gillespie, I think we might have missed Gillespie earlier. Gillespie and Bunker Hill and 7. Garland and Litchfield were 3-4. Hillsborough was 2. And Mount Olive was 5. And, you know, as you know, when we schedule it, we try to schedule it to where the teams that have, you know, both genders entered in the tournament, that they can play back-to-back. And so the pools don't always go 1-4-5-8 and 2-3-6-7. But this year, it's about as close as it's ever been. The girls does have that set up with 1-4-5-8 and 2-3-6-7. And then the boys, it goes 1-3-5-8 and 2-4-6-7. And like I said before, the Carlinville and Litchfield seeds, I think we're separated by one vote of the coaches. And so we feel really good about the setup of the tournament and how it's going to work out. And we think we got it set up to where a lot of people can enjoy.
Now, you guys do a great job of getting it set up, trying to make sure the boys and girls teams can play back-to-back. That really does help the crowds and kind of the intensity in the gymnasium. But the girls' tournament this year, Darren, is wide open. The last number of years, of course, Litchfield has brought a very powerful team, and I think they've won it 6 or 7 years in a row, whatever it is. But this year, it's wide open.
Oh, I agree. We're the 5 seed, and I told the girls, I said, you know, it's going to be really hard for us to win, but by the same token, I think if we play well, we would have as good a chance as anybody. And so, you know, there's been years where we've been the 2 or the 3 seed and maybe didn't necessarily feel like we had as, you know, as much of a chance against, you know, the best team in the tournament, which lately has been Litchfield with their great players, including Abby Brockmeyer from Lincolnwood. And so, you know, like you said, I believe it's wide open. I think there's going to be some close games. If you look around at the girls' scores, period, so far this season, the scores have kind of been all over the place with various teams, and so it makes for some good games.
It does. And, of course, this is such a great tournament, as we talked about, because it's a boys and a girls tournament. You guys utilize the middle school gymnasium as well, so you can walk in to the big house on West Main at 12:30 and not have to go outside again until about 10 o'clock.
That's true. I walk in about 9 in the morning, and I don't go home till 11, so I can vouch for that. And so, no, you're absolutely right. It's a, you know, one admission. Once you get there, you can stay. It's $5 for an adult. And anyway, we look forward to some great crowds this year.
Absolutely, and it'll start the day after Christmas on the 26th there. Then the championship night will be that Friday, the 29th. And you made this switch a couple years ago, but we have that championship session now with the girls' title game at 6:30 and the boys' championship at 8. And when you're running a boys' and girls' tournament consecutively, like you are, it makes for a perfect ending to have those back-to-back title games.
Yeah, it's always kind of fun. We get good crowds for that, you know, it goes either way. You know, if it happens to be one school that has both boys and girls, then obviously a lot of people from that town will come. By the same token, if you get 4 different schools in that championship game, then you get a nice crowd as well. And so I think, you know, that works out. Well, you know, obviously our Macoupin County tournament is similar, so it's kind of a similar atmosphere to our county championship game. It's something that we always look forward to that last night, and there's usually some good games.
Darren, of course, you're off on the road right now, headed to Staunton for a big South Central matchup this morning against a very improved Bulldogs club.
Oh, definitely. They've been young the last couple of years, and they've had some players that have really improved. The Painter girl is a good player, and then this co-op with Mount Olive certainly hasn't hurt them either. The point guard that they picked up from Mount Olive, the Savannah Brune, is a nice player. Coach McBrain has got him playing well, and so we're sufficiently nervous to say the least.
Well, yeah, you're nervous because you were there that night. They played Bunker Hill and scored 90 points.
I know. I have no idea how we're going to figure that out, but we're going to have to because I'm not sure we can score 90 points. I know that.
Darren, you guys have had a very solid start to your year, though.
Thank you. We've played people very competitively. You know, we have 6 losses and 6 wins, and really 5 of our losses, we were in it the whole game. We struggled a little bit this past Thursday against Greenville, but our other 5 losses, we were right there. And in fact, really, our 6 wins, for the most part, have been close games as well. So we're going out and competing every night. We've got some really great girls on the team. We're pretty deep. We play 9, 10, 11 girls in any particular game. And we've got a great attitude, and hopefully we'll continue to improve.
All right, sounds good, Darren. We'll have you on the radio Monday.
That's right. Thank you. We'll see you there at the big house.
All right, sounds good, Darren. Good luck today, my friend.
All right, Tim, thank you.
Darren Deneve, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. They will be at Staunton this morning for a South Central matchup. Then, of course, the holiday tournament comes up December the 26th through the 29th. That's always a great week of basketball.
Got to be one of the best interviews we've ever had, right?
Oh, yeah, that's quality.
That's quality.
That's top-notch. That's right up there.
It's one of my favorite interviews. Personal favorite all time.
We will have girls high school basketball tonight. Hillsboro travels to Litchfield, 720 with the pregame here on FM 106. We'll stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Southwestern Piasaw Birds head coach Jason Darr following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Let's run down some scores from last night as we make contact with Southwestern head coach Jason Darr. They had a great win last night over Breeze Modern Day, 56-51. New Berlin erased an 11-point fourth-quarter deficit and beat North Mac last night 47-44. The Pretzels outscored North Mac 24-10 in the fourth quarter. South County beat Lincolnwood 51-42. Greenville over Gillespie 69-23. Nokomis beat Mount Olive 68-46. They outscored the Cats 38-19 in the second half. Pena beat Staunton 56-43. Mount Pulaski over Athens 68-53. Illini Central beat Auburn 59-55. It was Riverton over Pawnee 67-32. Williamsville beat St. Teresa 59-54. Lanphier put 101 on Rochester and won it 101-45. Metro East Lutheran beat Bunker Hill 46-23. Porta beat Pleasant Plains 41-36. Plains off to just a 3-6 start after their deep run in the football playoffs. And at the St. Elmo Holiday Tournament, St. Elmo Brownstown beat Vandalia 57-52. Last night, Southwestern down to Breeze Modern Day by 5-56-51, and we're joined by the Piasaw Birds head coach, Jason Darr. Good morning, coach.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing very well. The question is, how are you doing after a very nice win over Modern Day last night?
Yeah, we're pretty excited. It's a good win for us, obviously, with Modern Day's, well, Breeze together, their storied programs that both of those groups have had. Anytime you can beat one of those two teams, it's definitely a kind of a feather in the cap. So our kids are pretty excited, and you know, we told them last night we've set a new bar now. So we got to stay up there and continue to kind of climb the ladder. So our kids are very, very excited.
Jason, I don't know the number of years, but it seems the last several years your early season schedule has been phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, it's we've tried to put some teams in this early part of the schedule where we kind of get an idea of where we're at. Some teams are going to push us and kind of exploit our weaknesses, if you will. Then, you know, we can try to fix that stuff early on and try to get it going for the second half of the season.
And like you said, telling your kids that you guys have a different level you're trying to reach now, and that's why you want these tougher games early in the year. Even if you do take some losses out of them, it'll make you better as the season rolls along for sure.
Right, exactly. You know, you can't get complacent, and that's the thing I worry most about any kind of team, really, honestly. Any athletic team is kids getting in, you know, in kind of that safe zone and getting comfortable with kind of where they're at. I mean, in my opinion, you just don't want to get comfortable. You want to continue to climb and climb and work and make yourself better. And, you know, that's how teams get better and become, you know, a great team at the end of the season when you obviously want to be your best there in the postseason. So I think these kids will do that. We got a really good group. We've got some kids that have been pushing themselves for a long, long time, and it's one of the reasons why they're having a lot of success right now.
Jason, that leads into the question I was going to ask you about this group of seniors you have right now. They came in with a lot of hype, a lot of expectations. What has been their kind of mindset throughout the summer leading up into their senior season?
Well, I mean, first first of all, they're just a great group of kids. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better group. And, you know, these are the kind of kids that you know, I want my four kids to grow up to be like. I mean, they're just that good of a group of guys. But, you know, expectations are kind of hard sometimes. And, you know, we knew coming in that, you know, we were hoping that these guys would have a great senior year. And I think that, you know, they worked hard over the summer and they put a lot of time in the gym and in the weight room and doing some other things. And they put themselves in a position to be very successful. And, you know, we're just trying to kind of reach that potential. It's kind of what you always want to do with your teams. And I think right now they're doing a pretty good job of that.
Your team this year, obviously, no Baumgartner, no big guy in the middle. Has it changed the way that you guys play? Colin wasn't necessarily just the low block, back to the basket type of guy.
Yeah, Colin did a lot of different things. And so, you know, a lot of stuff we ran last year also put him out where he could do some things on the perimeter. We have changed a lot, quite a bit. I mean, we've changed the way we play. You know, when you don't have the 6'6 kid, you got to change a few things, but you know, Ben Lovitz is a kid that he may not be 6'6", guys, but I'm telling you right now, he plays like it a lot of times. And the way that he uses his body and his footwork and just his mindset alone, you know, he's able to do so many things with his, you know, 6'1", 6'2", body. And it's just, he's been a huge, huge player for us so far this season and in seasons in the past as well.
And he really is. That's exactly right, Jason, that I don't care what his size is. When you watch him play, you never think, boy, he's just not big enough. He just sticks his nose right in there and just gets the job done.
Yeah, that's just his mindset. You know, that's the way he works. And that's the way he approaches everything. I mean, you know, he came out this year in football for the first time as a senior and had a lot of success on the field. And,
that can make a basketball coach nervous, though.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But you know what? It's made him better. And I think it even helped Justin as well and some of our other guys that play football. It makes him a little more physical. And, you know, it's good for him, in my opinion. But they've had, you know, those four guys are just a good group, have the mindset that they're not going to get beat. And sometimes, you know, you just have to have that. You know, I've talked a lot about our guys, you know, and it's not always the best players, guys. Sometimes it's the right players. And in my opinion, we've got a group of the right players on this team.
And you talked about how good of kids they are. And from your perspective as a coach, boy, that makes it fun to show up to work every day.
Yes. Fun group to coach. Great group of kids. It does. It makes it a lot easier to spend, you know, the hours watching film and creating game plans and all that stuff, because I have a really good idea that these kids are going to execute it. And they're really smart, intelligent basketball players. So, you know, we're able to do probably a lot of things that maybe some other teams can't do because these kids are able to focus and they're able to put together different schemes. And, you know, they can change defenses different times up and down the court, and we can add little things in there, because a lot of times they execute it, and we did some of that last night a little bit. So it's nice to have players that really know the game and are very, very intelligent basketball players, and, you know, we're able to do more with it, I think, than some teams.
Jason, without giving away any type of state secrets, what are some of the areas of improvement you would like to see in your club, say, moving up towards the Macoupin County Tournament?
Well, I mean, you know, we've been shooting the ball pretty well. We've had some turnovers, to be honest. I mean, we've been a little more efficient in the past than this year. We've turned the ball over and at times, especially a couple times late in games. When we would like to not do that, obviously. So I think we got to get more comfortable. We got to get more comfortable with some of the guys coming off the bench. You know, as they come in the game, more comfortable executing the stuff that we want to execute on the offensive end. I think rebounding has to continue to improve. Obviously, with a small team, we got to do a much better job squaring people off and the box out and doing all the stuff that you have to do to rebound. And, you know, that's one of the things I thought we did a pretty good job of last night, with a much bigger modern day team. We really screened off well, and I think we're getting better at rebounding the basketball. So, you know, those are probably two things that I think we need to improve on. Obviously, with the guys coming off the bench, as they get experience, I think it's going to improve. And, you know, so those are some things we're going to be looking forward to.
Sounds great. Jason, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. Great start to the year. We look forward to following you throughout the rest of the season, sir.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Jason Darr, the head coach of the Southwestern Pious Allbirds. And, David, that is a great win last night for Southwestern to beat a program like Breeze Modern Day.
It absolutely is, and it'll do nothing more than prepare them for the postseason, as that's going to be that could be a team they run into in the postseason. Although I don't know where Modern Day is. I think they might have been 3A last year, because I think they did get bumped up a class. So, but you never know. Maybe they'll.
Well, if not Modern Day, you'll certainly run into Central if you go far enough.
That's pretty likely.
Well, we say that's a long way off, but my goodness, we'll be talking about regional basketball a lot sooner than we realize.
Is Central the better historical program of the two?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so. I'd have to look it up. But historically, they're good at everything.
Yeah.
But I always think of Modern Day kind of more football.
Yeah.
Central more of basketball, but you can interchange them. I mean, any given year, they could be good at everything. And for girls, too.
No, that's right. That's right. That's a well-rounded athletic program they have there.
Yeah. It's different because not many places does the public school rival the private school, and in some areas surpass the private school. But I mean, down in that neck of the woods, it's a legitimate conversation to have who's better all around, Central or Modern Day. I would lean towards Central if you're factoring in every athletic program, but I mean, Breeze Modern Day speaks for itself.
I would say so too. I think Modern Day, typically, don't they also play higher usually in the postseason than the size of their school? Just because
they got the multiplier.
So, yeah, I would say actual postseason success, Central's probably better off or better all around. But, I mean, they're pretty close to equal programs, I would say.
Oh, yeah, and whenever they play, it's knock down, drag out.
That's right. Maybe one of the greatest rivalries in the state as far as sports goes.
I don't know about in the state, but certainly, certainly in the area. In the state? I don't know.
Well, between public and private schools. I don't know.
I mean,
what do I know?
It would be on the list.
What do I know?
The state's big.
It is big.
The state's big. Are you talking like just every sport or just basketball?
I'm talking every sport.
Every sport.
With public versus private.
We got to put Rochester, Sacred Heart, Griffin football in that conversation.
Right.
That's got to be on there.
I'm talking all around, like a combination of.
Oh, just school versus school in every sport?
In every sport.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, then in that case, maybe they are on the list.
Yeah.
That is very short.
I would think so. Public versus private.
Well, in the fact that they're in the same town, too.
Right. Well, you don't have a lot of that. I mean, you do in the,
not
the
around
big,
here.
The big
right.
cities you do, but, and even then, the big cities have multiple public schools, and multiple private schools, so it's hard to narrow just one. But what do I know?
You know something.
Just a simpleton.
You know something.
Yeah. Well, I'll claim that.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Basketball across the board here on the Tally Broadcasting Stations today, as we've got Fighting Illini basketball for you on the Ox, as Illinois will take on New Mexico State in the Lou Hinson Bowl, you could say. That game at 6 o'clock on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. And then we've also got girls high school basketball, the Route 16 rivalry with Hillsboro at Litchfield, live around 7:20 on FM 106. Also online at WSMIRadio.com.
That's right. Thank you very much, David Jenkins. And they will be honoring Lou Hinson at the Illinois game today, as he's a graduate of New Mexico State, coached there for 16 years, and it actually has led both programs to the Final Four. He took New Mexico State there in 1970 and, of course, took the Flying Illini team to the Final Four in 1989. So they will be honoring Coach Hinson today in Chicago at the United Center as Illinois takes on New Mexico State, as David said, live at 6 tonight on 105.3 The Ox, the 52nd game at the United Center since the 94-95 season for the Illini, and they've played well there. They are 37-14 in those contests at the United Center in Chicago. Just kind of an interesting note, the last matchup between these two was in the Great Alaskan Shootout back in 1992, a long time ago. And irrelevant, but New Mexico State won by a point, 95-94, but not since 1992 in Alaska have the Illini squared off against New Mexico State. Well, there were some interesting games last night in boys high school basketball. New Berlin had a big comeback against North Mac, outscoring the Panthers 24-10 in the fourth quarter. You had Nokomis beating Mount Olive 68-46. It was a close game at half, but the Skins outscored Mount Olive 38-19 in the second half. And then you had Lanphier crushing Rochester 101-45, and that score, it just stands out from the standpoint of Lanphier, a historic basketball power. Rochester has turned into a historic football power, and boy, Lanphier laid it to him last night.
Lopsided, just a bit. Just a bit.
And you know, it's interesting. It's early in the year, but a lot of the teams locally that progress deep into the football playoffs have gotten off, which, not surprising, a very slow start in the high school basketball season. Of course, Plains, a historic basketball power, made it to the football championship game this year. They're off to just a 3-6 start. Rochester, of course, taking some lumps early. Athens, who has been very, very good in basketball, now they've lost some people in the last couple of years, but they're off to a slower start than they've come accustomed to for the basketball season as well. And David, last night, Mount Pulaski beat Athens 68-53. And I'm going to do something that in radio you're really not supposed to do. This would be like anti-broadcasting 101.
Don't do it.
But I'm going to do it, David, because I'm just curious, because I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So Mount Pulaski had a youngster last night, went for 33 points.
Yeah.
I have no idea how you pronounce his first name. I pronounced it as Jesus at 7:30.
How's it spelled?
G-E- Z U S.
G E Z U S.
That's how it's spelled. I have no idea how it's pronounced.
That's a good question. Don't either.
I don't know.
That's what
either.
I would say. Jesus.
I went Jesus, but not with a high degree of confidence.
No. I don't know.
But he scored 33 points, so you can't just ignore it.
No, that's.
But
that's
you would
right.
like to get the kid's name right.
So it wasn't like a Pete Jackson.
It wasn't a Pete Jackson moment. It was not.
Jesus Jackson moment. I don't know. I've never seen that name spelled that way.
So if anybody out there knows how you pronounce this name,
either the kid personally or has seen that spelling before.
Yeah, G-E-Z-U-S.
I wouldn't think it'd be a hard G, like Gezus.
It's a soft J. It's yogging.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. What was his last name?
Oliver. That I know.
Yeah.
That I know.
Jesus Oliver, that would be my guess, but I don't know.
I mean, that's what I said at 7:30, but like I said, not with a high degree of confidence.
Should have asked Darren Deneve. He would have known. I know he would have known.
He probably would have known.
Yeah. I don't know that one. That's a good question.
It's beyond you?
That's beyond me.
All right.
I've never seen that spelling before.
No, I haven't either. I have not either. We were talking about the Carlinville Holiday Tournament earlier. Of course, it'll start the day after Christmas. The St. Elmo Holiday Tournament has been going on all week. They played a game last night. St. Elmo Brownstown beat Vandalia 57-52.
Don't they have a Thanksgiving tournament too, St. Elmo? Or am I thinking of something
else? No, I think they're in. I think they go to the Mulberry Grove Thanksgiving tournament, I think.
Perhaps.
Boy, Thanksgiving seems like a long time ago.
Doesn't it?
And those Thanksgiving tournaments.
It's been almost a month. Obviously, that's when the high school basketball season really kicks off, is the Thanksgiving tournaments. But it feels like it starts to actually get in full swing in the Christmas holiday tournaments.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the girls.
Especially this year. This year, it doesn't seem like it's really started much. It could just be my perception, but.
Yeah, I would say that's probably more your perception.
Okay.
I feel like, for me personally, once we hit December.
Mm-hmm.
It's basketball season.
Yeah.
Cause like the Thanksgiving tournaments, they were always around in some capacity, but it's a relatively new phenomenon, probably even in just the last 10 years, maybe less than that, where boys teams is just kind of standard to be in a Thanksgiving tournament. And you see a lot more now, like the last 2 years, the Hillsboro-Shelbyville game was scheduled for that late November range as a regular season contest, but then has to get pushed back or flat out canceled like it did last year because of a deep football playoff run. And that, as I always understood it, was the reason that you kind of waited, you know, till after Thanksgiving to start the boys' season was to allow the football season to fully wrap up, get your practices in, and then you're ready to go. Obviously, the volleyball season in the fall ends before the football season, so the girls' teams have time to get their practice in and start their season the couple weeks before the boys do. But as we've seen the proliferation of these Thanksgiving tournaments the last number of years, if you're not playing three or four games in November, you're in the minority anymore.
No, that's right. At least among the small schools. I don't know about the bigger schools. But yeah, the small schools have quite a few of the Thanksgiving tournaments. It's an interesting point.
And there, I think, you know, there's some teams that have been in terms the last number of years that weren't in them this year, and maybe we'll start to see it fall back a little bit. But like that Metro East tournament, and that's a good tournament. There's a lot of good teams down there.
It's grown.
It's grown. It's grown. It's so big. It's almost too big.
Actually, it shrank technically. It was 16 teams this year. It was 18 the past couple of years.
Yeah, that was too much.
Well, they jumped up from probably 12 to 18, I think, something like that.
Like, trying to, like, keep track of that tournament and, like, figure out, okay, which bracket am I in, the consolation bracket? Am I in the silver bracket? Am I in the teal bracket? Where am I?
They had five pools of three teams, five or six, it would have been six of three teams. And then how they figured, like, the brackets after pool play was over was interesting because it was like, well, you had gold, silver, and bronze bracket. But pools A and B and C and D each got a bye, but E and F had to play each other, and G and H did, or I don't know. I'm off on my letters, so yeah, I don't know how they figured it out. But they went to 16 teams. It's a nice 16 team bracketed tournament now. So I like this format.
The top half of that tournament is always really, really
stacked.
Good. Yeah, of course, Southwestern was in the championship semifinals of that tournament last month, and I love what the Birds are doing here to start the year. They've got this group of seniors who they got a lot of minutes as freshmen on good teams. And now as they've entered their season campaign, that win last night, so good to beat a team like Modern Day. Something like that. You heard Coach Jason Dar talk about how his team is so energized from that win. That's a win. It can really propel you to bigger things, but it could work the other way, if you get too excited about that win, and I don't think this will happen from Southwestern's perspective because I don't think Jason Dar will allow it to happen, but sometimes you get a big early season win and you maybe relax a little bit and say, heck, if we can beat Modern Day, you start looking at your schedule. Well, we can beat them. We can beat
right.
them. We can beat them. That's not the way it works.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what their recovery period is. When's their next game?
They play Monday.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, Tuesday.
So that's not bad.
No, they'll host Brussels on Tuesday. So they don't have to go to Brussels, which means they can avoid the ferry,
yeah,
which is always good.
They don't get the fresh river fish, though.
And that's not good. Gotta love the fresh river fish.
That's right. But that's okay. I guess they'll sacrifice that to stay home against Brussels.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have it imported to Southwestern.
But as far as our area teams go, Southwestern, of course, off to a great start. I don't care what Nokomis's record is. You must look out for Nokomis here as the year moves along, because we talked about how Southwestern has toughened up their early season schedule the last number of years. The Nokomis early season schedule has always been tough.
Yeah.
As long as Steve Kimbrough has been there, at least in more than recent memory. I mean, you can go back decades where just the early part of their schedule is just brutal, where maybe they, you know, wind up 1-6 in a given year, but it'd be the best 1-6 team in Class 1A you've ever seen.
Right. Well, and they're entering territory, like we've mentioned how a lot of teams are now, they're playing Thanksgiving tournaments. They're entering territory where they're not playing in a holiday tournament, so they're going to be straight practicing for a couple of weeks, and it's going to get interesting.
And that's exactly right. And that the no Christmas tournament thing has really kind of taken on this whole life of its own around the Nokomis basketball program. It does work. Whether these stories are true or not, they practice, they crank the heat up in the gym, and just work their tails off for that week. And the proof is in the pudding, because whether it's directly related to that or it's just the fact that Kimbrough's an awesome coach and that he has great players and he coaches them up, it's a combination of all those things. But it is just a fact that the Nokomis team after Christmas is always a better team than the Nokomis squad before Christmas. And it doesn't matter what they did before Christmas. No matter how good they were before Christmas, they're always better coming out of that Christmas break.
It was almost like a preseason. Like, this was the preseason. Christmas was the practice time. And then after Christmas is when the season actually starts for Nokomis.
That's interesting. That's actually a very good point. Because, I mean, the teams they play in the first part of the year, they won't see them in their playoff
Most
round.
Most likely not. No.
You know, I mean, they're playing Tryon. They're playing Civic Memorial. They're playing Granite City. They play Taylorville. Like, sheesh.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why they're always the last team around here staying in 1A.
And then there's a chance they're gonna play Civic Memorial and Taylorville again at Litchfield in January. So
they're always the smallest school in that tournament.
Right.
Nokomis is just a great example for all programs, really, at the high school level. And think about all the games that Kimbrough has won over the years. But he's never gone into a season or into a campaign and thought, got to get 20 wins this year.
Right.
Got to win 20 games. Like, that's never the focus of the Nokomis basketball program. Getting better each and every day and trying to be playing your best basketball come regional tournament time. That has been the staple of Nokomis during Steve Kimbrough's tenure.
Yeah.
And it's not a surprise that they have the success they do, because their focus is primarily on getting better to be their best late in the year. Some schools, they will schedule to make sure they get their 20 wins, and then, well, that was a great year. It doesn't matter what happens after that as long as we got our 20 wins. Not for Nokomis.
No. No, that's exactly right. You look at the regular season schedule, it could actually probably, I haven't taken a look at it, I should have, but it could probably look maybe average, but then their postseason record looks, did I say schedule?
You said schedule.
Okay, I meant record. Regular season record could probably look average, but then the postseason record is phenomenal because of what they've done to prepare for the postseason.
Yeah, and then
the schedule looks great in the regular season.
Yes, it does. And the years when they've had their great teams,
yeah,
they beat these big schools early in the year.
That's right.
So if Nokomis gets off to a good start record-wise,
they're 8-0 heading into December.
Look out! Look out when that's the case.
Goodness,
that's right. But yeah, they'll be getting ready for their traditional annual Christmas break practice, and it'd be interesting to go in there and just watch that one day.
Yeah. I'd like to get what the players think of, you know, heading into that.
What do they actually think?
Yeah, what are you actually thinking heading into Christmas?
But see, it's not like if you grow up in Nokomis, 1-2-2 ball press, and you work your tail off at Christmas. Like, these are just givens. It's like death and taxes in Nokomis. 1-2-2, and we're going to work real hard during Christmas break.
That's right. That's right. It works for them. I mean, and they won't stop until it stops working, and I don't anticipate that happening anytime soon.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Fighting Illini and the St. Louis Cardinals made a move or two this week. We'll talk about that when Sports Saturday returns.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. We'll have Fighting Illini basketball tonight on 105.3 The Ox. Live coverage begins at 6 from the United Center in Chicago as Illinois will face New Mexico State. And it'll be Lou Henson night in Chicago, coach both teams to the Final Four. And anytime you get to honor Lou Henson, it's going to be a great night of basketball. And that's what will happen tonight in Chicago. And for the Illini, they are, I believe, 8-4 on the year. And the four losses, I mean, they were all
close games,
all right there, and at least the two Big Ten games for sure, Illinois probably should have won. Overtime right. Losses at Northwestern, and then they just gave the game away
to
Maryland.
They also should have gotten blown out to Maryland if they hadn't have played so well down the stretch.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
But yes, they did make a comeback, took the lead late, and then threw it away, literally, at the end of the game, or at the end of regulation.
And for the Illini, they are a very, very young team. We had the note earlier in the week, that game in UNLV, this group of freshmen, it was the most points combined by a group of Illinois freshmen since the D. Brown, Darren Williams, James Augustine crew. So you put this team and this group of freshmen in that lens, and there's a lot of positive things to take away from this Illini team. Even though they had that rough stretch, I think they lost 4 of 5 at one point, struggled in that one win against Austin Peay. But the team as a whole, with the youth and the new coach and the different style, I think you have to be very happy with the way Illinois has performed to this point in the season. The encouraging thing to me is they're not getting blown out. Yeah, they were down big to Maryland, but they came back. In years past, when they got down big, it was over.
No, that's right. And they don't have anybody on the current roster who's a one and done. The one guy they're going to lose transitioning into next year is Mark Allstork, who's a graduate student. I wonder how long they can keep Trent Frazier out of the starting lineup, because he hasn't been starting, and he just continues to improve. I think the last game he scored 18 points, I believe, and he's shown flashes of brilliance at the point guard position. The problem was you had Tijon Lucas coming into the season, who was a sophomore, who played really well down the stretch at point guard last year, but he's cost you a couple of games this year with his performance late in the games. I know he missed a couple of free throws against Northwestern, and they end up losing by, what, one or two in that game? And Trent Frazier has been phenomenal. So do you turn to Frazier as the starting point guard here coming up and have Lucas off the bench or what?
Yeah, I mean, at some point that very well could happen. And these are, when you're in a situation where a coach is in his first year and he hasn't really recruited any of these guys, he's not going to feel any loyalty to one particular player because he recruited this guy and didn't recruit that guy. Underwood will put what he deems to be the best players on the floor. But something to keep in mind, David, is, yeah, everyone focuses on the starting five. Mm-hmm. But who's your finishing five?
Right.
You know, everybody wants to start because you get your name announced at the beginning of the game and there's prestige that goes with the starter. But ask any basketball player, they would much rather come off the bench and be on the floor in the final minute than start and be on the bench in the final minute.
No, that's exactly right. They're about nine deep where nine guys get consistent playing time.
And the style that they play, they need that depth.
Yeah.
And you can just see where Underwood is taking this thing in a couple of years. If he continues to get his recruits, his style of player, they are going to be a handful by the time this group of freshmen, say, are juniors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Illinois could really have something at that point in time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how their game translates to the Big Ten schedule, because they played two Big Ten teams, but they weren't the powerhouses, and they don't have size, and that's something you really need come Big Ten time. So we'll see how they do lacking the size that they don't have.
And this might be a rare year in the Big Ten where Michigan State is the only powerhouse team.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan State's phenomenal. They're one of the top two, three teams in the country, no doubt about it. There's a pretty substantial drop-off, I would say, from Michigan State to everybody else in the Big Ten.
Illinois has historically played Michigan State well,
even
when Michigan State's been at their best, and Illinois hasn't been a top program. I mean, they've, like, for whatever reason, Illinois plays Michigan State really well.
They've had their moments.
They have.
They've had their moments.
They have.
So the Illini coming up today in Chicago, 6 o'clock on 105.3 The Ox, the Illini, and New Mexico State. As we sit here on the 16th day of December, it sounds crazy to say, but spring training will be starting before you even realize it. That'll be, what, early to mid-February, usually around Valentine's Day is when the pitchers and catchers start reporting. And the Hot Stove League's been off to a little bit of a slow start this year. The market was waiting for Giancarlo Stanton. As soon as that got resolved, then the Baltimore Orioles said, oh, yeah, hey, we'll make Manny Machado available. So that has really kind of stalled things out here.
It has. It has. And remember, things are starting later as far as spring training is concerned this year, because last year was the World Baseball Classic. So it'll go back to its regular starting time this year. But, yeah. Stanton stalled the market. It started to speed up after he was traded to the Yankees, and then Machado slowed things down again.
And it'll be really interesting to see if you read the varying media reports that don't come out of St. Louis, but that start at the national level, with Baltimore making Machado available. The Cardinals have not had official conversations, but they've had those types of talks where they've gauged the interest to see what it would take to get Manny Machado. Of course, you're talking about, he's in the Bryce Harper, Mike Trout conversation. That's where Manny Machado is in the pantheon of current Major League Baseball players. So if you have a chance to go out and get him, even if it's just for a year, if you're a team like the Cardinals in the spot that they are in, you got to make every effort to go out and do it. And the Cardinals have shown a different type of aggressiveness this year. David, you know how I was. Whenever the Stanton stuff, I didn't want to hear anything about Stanton.
You refused to get sucked in.
I refused to get sucked into the Giancarlo Stanton saga, and I did a good job. But I am both feet completely submerged in the Manny Machado thing.
Let's put it this way. if Cardinals fans or the front office or whoever you're polling, if you want Manny Machado at all next offseason, you want the Cardinals to sign him at all next offseason, you have to trade for him. There's no way you can win an open bidding war because he's going to have some familiarity with St. Louis in order to sign with the Cardinals.
Most likely. And I'm not even worried about next year. I want the Cardinals to go for it this year.
Right.
You know, they spent all, and they've been so competitive.
That's the other thing. He would help them compete this year.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And you have to compete to draw these free agents in.
He makes them, they get him, they're a World Series contender.
That's why they couldn't get Stanton, was because they weren't legitimate contenders.
No, that's exactly right. But I am not in the camp of, well, you're going to have to give up too much to get him just for 1 year. I don't care.
No.
After the last 2 years, I don't care what you have to do to get yourself back in the legitimate World Series conversation, but you do it. Because to me, the Cardinals are good. They've been good. Even the last 2 years, they were good. But they had no real chance to win at all. And the Cardinals like to tell you, and they're not wrong, they want to be World Series contenders every year.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. It's easy to say, but at some point, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And if they're not prepared, the price of doing business in Major League Baseball now is steep.
Right.
If you want the elite, high-end players, you're going to have to not just pay for them, but most likely overpay for them.
Right.
So if the Cardinals aren't willing to do that, which that would be well within their business model and their right, that's fine, but you become the Minnesota Twins.
No, that's right.
To where you're happy to win 85 to 90 ball games and make the playoffs.
They're absolutely not done improving their lineup.
I think they're getting Machado.
They can't be. There's a good possibility of that. There's three options right now to improve their lineup, and they are Manny Machado, Josh Donaldson, and Evan Longoria. They want Josh Donaldson the most because Machado is better than Donaldson, not by a lot right now. Mm-hmm. However, Donaldson is going to be cheaper. I'm talking strictly right now. Machado is only 26, so he's still going to, I mean, he's going to be better longer.
I don't think Josh Donaldson is in the conversation of Manny Machado.
You don't think so?
I think Josh Donaldson would be happy to carry Manny Machado's bags through the airport, is what I think.
Hmm.
Donaldson's good.
Donaldson's MVP.
Yeah, I know he is. But Machado can be historically great. When Machado's
right.
done, he could be in the conversation of one of the greatest players of all time. Donaldson will never be in that conversation.
Because he got a late start in his career.
But that's part of it, David.
I know. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, Donaldson is their top priority because he'll cost you a little theoretically. He'll cost you a little less than Machado would in terms of prospects. Also a free agent. Then they want Machado, and then it'll be Evan Longoria if they strike out on both of those two fronts.
Why Machado is superior in every way to both of those players is because he'll play shortstop.
Right.
The Cardinals have been looking for the shortstop since Renteria. Before
yep.
that, you have to go back to Ozzie. They've been looking for the premier shortstop. Here he is. Go out and get him.
They do.
Go get him.
They do.
If you got to give up Alex Reyes, give him up.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that, too. They don't have to mortgage their entire farm system. See,
no, they don't.
I think a lot of people think they have to give up everything in their farm system
no.
to get him. They don't.
No.
The Orioles have said they want two controlled starting pitching prospects, and they've got that. And the one thing the Cardinals have not had a problem with is developing young pitching.
True.
So I never have a problem with the Cardinals trading away their young starting pitching because, yeah, while it may be a problem for some teams to find starting pitching, the Cardinals never have a problem developing young starting pitching. They've always been able to do it. So that's your strength. Deal from your strength.
And they got Ozuna without giving up any of their top four pitching prospects.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? Pretty phenomenal.
Front office knows what they're doing. They
do.
Know how to get what they want. And the fact that you don't hear them talking a lot about Machado leads me to believe that they're serious about getting him. Because if you think about it, years past, they were all in on David Price to let everybody know about it. Didn't get him. They let everybody know they were going to get Jason Hayward. Didn't get him. When the Cardinals make it publicly known they want a guy, generally they don't get him. But the times when they don't talk about it, they come out of nowhere and land the player.
Well, they've also talked about it's too steep. Well, that's what you think.
Right. And that's what I want them to be saying
yeah.
right now. It's exactly what I want to hear from the Cardinals.
It's called a negotiating tactic.
That's exactly right, and they're very good at it. We're out of time here on Sports Saturday. We will have Fighting Illini basketball tonight, 6 o'clock on the Ox from the United Center in Chicago. Girls high school basketball tonight here on FM 106 and WSMIRadio.com with Hillsboro traveling to Litchfield. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.